Today is Thursday, October 2nd, and this is the World Socialist Website. The real issue in the government shutdown: mobilize the working class against Trump's dictatorship. A statement of the Socialist Equality Party of the United States. The Trump administration, acting as a representative of the capitalist oligarchy, is using this week's government shutdown to implement an unprecedented assault on the working class, including mass layoffs and attacks on social programs, at the center of which is the erection of a military police dictatorship. The working class must intervene in this crisis, mobilizing its immense social power to force the Trump administration from office and put an end to its criminal conspiracies. This struggle cannot be defined by or subordinated to the Democratic Party, which is opposed to any popular mobilization against Trump's ongoing coup d'etat. As many as 750,000 federal employees could be furloughed across all government agencies except the apparatus of police state violence and anti-immigrant repression. The administration has ordered every department to prepare for reductions in force, that is, mass firings, targeting especially those programs not deemed consistent with the president's priorities. Russell Vought, Trump's budget director, said in a call with Republicans on Wednesday that these firings would begin in a day or two. The consequences will be devastating not only for the workers directly impacted, but for millions of people who rely on the limited services still provided by the government. Vought's strategy is the implementation of the principles laid out in Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation blueprint for Trump's consolidation of power, which Vought co-authored. This includes a vast expansion of the power of the executive branch by establishing the right of the president to determine government spending, obliterating Congress's constitutional power of the purse. The present actions are a massive escalation of the assault already underway since Trump's return to power. Since coming to power, the administration has wiped out 200,000 to 300,000 federal jobs while gutting public health, dismantling environmental and workplace safety regulations, and moving to eliminate the Department of Education. Facing mounting debt and deepening economic crisis, the Trump administration is preparing to slash the core social programs on which tens of millions rely, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, while targeting WIC, food stamps, and other vital assistance programs for the poor. This is the class content behind the conspiracy to establish a fascistic military police dictatorship. On the eve of the government shutdown, Trump and Secretary of War Pete Hegseth convened their meeting of generals and admirals at Quantico, where Trump and Hegseth demanded the loyalty of the officer corps and declared that U.S. cities must serve as training grounds for military repression and violence. The denunciations of the enemy within, Trump's declaration of war on American cities, and the vilification of the radical left express the recognition by the capitalist oligarchy that its program will provoke mass opposition from the working class. Under these conditions, the Democratic Party is absolutely incapable of and unwilling to pose the issues as they really are. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries declared meekly on Wednesday, quote, "Democrats remain ready to find a bipartisan path forward to reopen the government in a way that lowers costs and addresses the Republican health care crisis, but we need a credible partner," unquote. The Democrats are perpetually seeking some accommodation with Trump, even as administration officials speak of the Democrats as a party of domestic extremists. Moreover, to present the issue as if it were a conflict over health care is absurd. They know that the shutdown is being used to carry out mass firings and prepare the framework for dictatorship. By treating the crisis as a routine budget fight, they are playing directly into Trump's hands, and they know it. Speaking for Democrats, the New York Times published an editorial on Wednesday afternoon, purporting to identify the real stakes of the shutdown. The Times claimed, quote, "What the two parties are fighting about is whether Americans should have access to affordable health care, unquote. The Times avoided any mention of Trump's moves to deploy the military to occupy American cities, criminalize opposition, and establish a dictatorship. It concluded with a plaintive appeal. Quote, now that it is too late to avert a shutdown, it is incumbent on the President and Congress to reopen the government as soon as possible and commit to preventing Americans from having to pay too much for health insurance next year, unquote. The Times editors, if they were transported to Germany in the 1930s, would perhaps be advising that it was incumbent upon Hitler to commit to universal welfare programs. Moreover, the claim that Democrats are fighting with Trump over health care is a lie. The Democrats are not negotiating, let alone fighting, over access to health care. Their real and sole concern, the subject of discussions behind the scenes, is the war against Russia and Ukraine. On the essential issues of class policy, the Democrats, a party of Wall Street and the military intelligence apparatus, are in agreement. Given the extraordinary, criminal, and unconstitutional actions of the Trump administration, the basic question is how to remove him from power. When the Democrats impeached Trump in 2019, it was not for his fascistic threats, but over a delay in sending weapons to Ukraine. Today, there are not even suggestions of impeachment from the Democratic Party over actions that make Watergate appear like child's play. This is itself an act of complicity in Trump's dictatorship. The trade union apparatus, for its part, has no independent policy of its own. It functions as an appendage of either the Democratic Party or the Trump administration, depending on the particular allegiance of its leaders. AFL-CIO President Liz Schuler responded to the shutdown with a statement Wednesday, criticizing Trump for, quote, choosing chaos and pain over responsible governing. She declared, quote, the labor movement's message to the administration is clear. Get to work, fund the government, fix the health care crisis, put working people first, unquote. While Trump threatens to use the military against American cities, Schuler pleads for him to get to work. AFGE and AFSCME, which represent government workers, responded by declaring that the administration's actions are illegal, immoral, and unconscionable, and announced in response that they are filing a lawsuit. AFSCME President Lee Saunders said that the union would do, quote, everything possible, unquote, to defend workers, but this does not include any actual action by the workers. For the trade union apparatus, the central principle and article of faith is that, under any and all conditions, workers must do nothing. The apparatus functions as an industrial police force, deployed to enforce the dictates of the corporations in the state by blocking any struggle by the working class it claims to represent. The working class cannot stand by passively as Trump plots military dictatorship and a war on the working class. The Socialist Equality Party calls for workers to respond to the government shutdown and Trump's conspiracy through mass collective action. Whatever the maneuvers of the Democratic Party during the shutdown, Trump will still be in power, and all the criminals who make up his administration will continue to rule on behalf of big business. Tens or hundreds of thousands of workers will have lost their jobs. The working class must intervene in this unprecedented crisis with its own program. This requires organization. As the SCP explained, in its September 19th statement, Trump's Fascist Conspiracy and How to Fight It, a Socialist Strategy, a central element in the strategy of the working class must be the building of a new form of organization that can unify the working class and mobilize its vast industrial and economic power against the Trump regime. This new form of organization proposed by the Socialist Equality Party consists of rank-and-file committees. They must be established in every factory, workplace, school, and neighborhood to organize resistance to Trump's dictatorship. These committees must become centers of resistance, uniting all sections of the working class in industry, logistics, transport, restaurants and fast food, social services, legal defense, education, arts and culture, entertainment, medicine, healthcare, sciences, computer technology, programming, and other highly specialized professions, and student youth, against Trump's fascist government, the complicity of the Democrats, and the broader assault on democratic rights and living standards. The creation of rank-and-file committees is indispensable to break the stranglehold of the trade union bureaucracies, transfer power into the hands of the workers themselves, and create new centers of coordinated social power for the defense of democratic rights. This is the path forward, the independent mobilization of the working class for socialism against dictatorship, war, and capitalist exploitation. Israel illegally intercepts aid flotilla bound for Gaza, by Oscar Grenfell. In an ongoing military operation in the Mediterranean, the Israel Defense Forces, or IDF, have intercepted at least 13 vessels of the Global Samud Flotilla, which had been attempting to break the siege of Gaza. The IDF's actions are part of Israel's flagrant offensive against international law. The vessels were attacked and taken over in international waters on the basis of maintaining Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip, which is itself illegal. The attack on the flotilla has intensified mass popular hostility to Israel and its genocide in Gaza. Protests are being held in capital cities around the world, and in Italy a general strike has been called for Friday. A statement by the flotilla's organizers reported, "On Wednesday at around 8:30 p.m. or 17:30 GMT, multiple vessels of Global Samud Flotilla, notably Alma, Sirius, Adara, were illegally intercepted and boarded by Israeli occupation forces in international waters." The statement added, quote, "Prior to illegally boarding the ships, it appears as though the Israeli naval vessels intentionally damaged ship communications in an attempt to block distress signals and stop the live stream of their illegal boat boarding," unquote. In an update posted to social media, flotilla spokesperson Saif Aboukshek stated that at least 201 people had been taken into custody by the IDF after the boarding of the vessels. They hailed from 37 countries, including 30 participants from Spain, 22 from Italy, 21 from Turkey, and 12 from Malaysia. As Aboukshek and others have noted, the detentions can only be described as a kidnapping, given that Israel had no jurisdiction or legal right over the vessels. Among those arrested is the well-known Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg. The flotilla includes numbers of other prominent figures, such as former South African MP Mandla Mandela, the grandson of Nelson Mandela, and several European politicians from France, Spain, and Scandinavian countries. Aboukshek's update indicated that, as of its posting, 30 vessels of the flotilla, which had set out from Spain in late August, remained at liberty and were seeking to approach Gaza. The interceptions were the culmination of a series of aggressive actions by the IDF targeting the peaceful flotilla. Participants had reported that the vessels were being menaced by as many as 20 Israeli warships. Drones had hovered threateningly above as the warships approached at such close quarters as to require evasive action. Social media footage showed Israeli forces telling the vessels that they were, quote, "approaching an active war zone," and that if they attempted to, quote, "breach the naval blockade," unquote, they would be taken over, detained, and subjected to legal proceedings. In response to such a call over the ship's radio, Thiago Avila noted that the, quote, "International Court of Justice has made a provisional ruling that any attempt to hinder a humanitarian mission to Gaza is prohibited by international law." The actions of the flotilla, he stated, were also in line with the findings of the International Criminal Court, which last November issued arrest warrants for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli leaders on the grounds that their offensive on Gaza constitutes a crime against humanity. The Israeli regime is impervious to such arguments. Those detained from the vessels are to be thrown into Israeli detention. Their immediate fate is uncertain because many official Israeli institutions are in a shutdown due to Yom Kippur. under conditions where the IDF operation against the flotilla is continuing, some have recalled previous instances of Israeli attacks on attempts to break the siege of Gaza. When the Madleen was intercepted in June, activists were targeted with chemical irritant sprays before being detained and deported. Those on a 2018 flotilla reported being beaten and brutalized before their detention. In 2010, Israeli commandos carried out a hostile boarding of the Turkish ship Mavi Marmara, killing 10 of those on board. The latest attack on the global Samud flotilla has prompted widespread international condemnation. Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim condemned, quote, intimidation and coercion, unquote, of vessels carrying, quote, unarmed civilians and life-saving humanitarian supplies for Gaza, unquote. The Colombian government announced that the Israeli diplomatic mission to its country would be expelled. A number of other governments have issued statements of concern over the fate of their citizens who have been detained by Israel. Such statements are a nervous reaction to popular anger under conditions where protests are being held internationally over the attack on the flotilla. The interceptions and the circumstances leading up to them underscore the bogus character of such posturing. With the flotilla and its fate of particular interest in the Mediterranean nations of Italy and Spain, both countries dispatched military vessels on the pretext of protecting it from any aggression. On Tuesday evening, however, organizers stated that they had been told that, quote, the frigate escorting the fleet will ask the participants to turn back, unquote, well before they had approached Gaza. They told media outlets, quote, what Italy is doing is not protection but sabotage and an attempt to undermine the mission as it acts as a tool in the hands of Israel instead of safeguarding the volunteers, unquote. The Spanish government similarly called on participants to turn their vessels around and warned against breaching Israel's maritime exclusion zone around Gaza. The attack on the flotilla coincides with a stepped-up offensive against Gaza City by the IDF. In the past 24 hours, Israel has reportedly killed at least 73 people in the Strip, the majority of them in Gaza City. That included dozens of fatalities at two schools which had been turned into makeshift refugee facilities. The escalating attacks underscore the fraud of the so-called peace plan outlined by Netanyahu and President Donald Trump earlier this week. The plan demands the complete surrender of Hamas and of all armed Palestinian factions in Gaza. It envisions Gaza being ruled by a transitional regime headed by Trump and British war criminal Tony Blair. It includes obvious elements of Trump's proposals when he declared earlier this year that the U.S. would annex Gaza and transform it into a Riviera. The plan, for instance, forecasts the creation of a financial board that would, quote, attract private capital, manage investment portfolios, and provide investor facilitation. Shortly after the plan was unveiled and was lauded by governments around the world, Netanyahu released a video in Hebrew declaring that under no circumstances would the IDF leave Gaza. In other words, the plan is simply a cover for and an element of the advanced plan for the complete ethnic cleansing of Gaza, in which all of the imperialist powers are implicated. The latest developments underscore the reality that protests, no matter how courageous, are insufficient to halt the unfolding war crimes. The independent strength of the working class must be brought to bear, including through strikes and industrial action aimed at halting all military supplies to the imperialist Zionist war machine. That in turn must form one component of the development of an international anti-war movement, uniting the working class globally in opposition to a capitalist system hurtling towards barbarism and war. Bubble fears mount over NVIDIA OpenAI circular deal by Nick Beams. As the surge in the U.S. stock market continues, concerns are starting to develop that the bubble based on the massive investment in AI could burst, as parallels are drawn with the dot-com collapse at the start of the century. A market collapse today would not simply be a repeat of that experience, significant as it was, because the amounts of money involved are so much greater. Fears of a possible meltdown have been heightened by the recent deal between the leading AI chip maker NVIDIA and OpenAI, which sparked the AI surge with the release of ChatGPT towards the end of 2022. Under the deal, NVIDIA is to invest up to $100 billion in OpenAI to assist it in building massive data centers using NVIDIA chips. The deal is raising questions about the way in which NVIDIA is making investments to finance the AI boom to ensure that companies are locked into the use of its chips. As a recent article in Fortune put it, the massive data center build-out has, quote, added to a growing sense of unease that there is a dangerous financial bubble around AI, and that the revenues and earnings math underpinning the valuations of both public and private companies in the sector just doesn't add up, unquote. The Financial Times reported that just hours after the NVIDIA OpenAI deal was announced, the global consultancy firm Bain released a report which said that AI companies would need to spend $500 billion annually on capital investment to meet anticipated demand. Funding that expenditure would require $2 trillion in annual revenues, but the industry would miss that target by $800 billion. The scale of investments is unprecedented. The NVIDIA OpenAI deal calls for at least 10 gigawatts of computing power. According to the International Energy Agency, 10 gigawatts in AI data centers would consume as much energy as consumed in a year by 10 million typical U.S. households. But there is no certainty about how this massive outlay will be recouped. Last year, OpenAI recorded a loss of $5 billion on $3.7 billion in revenue. This year, according to a report by the business channel CNBC in August, revenue is on track to pass $20 billion. But this is not enough to put the company in the black, and losses are expected to continue. At that time, CEO Sam Altman told CNBC on the release of ChatGPT-5, quote, "As long as we're on this very distinct curve of the model getting better and better, I think the rational thing to do is just be willing to run the loss for quite a while," unquote. In other words, the investment is a massive gamble. Moreover, under conditions where a host of companies are investing in AI, above all the major tech giants Meta, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon, as well as NVIDIA, not all of them will be able to make the sort of profits needed to pay for their investment outlays. The NVIDIA strategy, as exemplified in its deal with OpenAI, is to ensure that however the market develops, its chips, graphic processing units or GPUs, will be at the center of AI development. Before the latest deal was announced, it had already entered into similar, smaller agreements with smaller companies. The deal with OpenAI is a qualitative leap. Concerns have been raised that it involves circular financing of the kind developed in the dot-com bubble, which led to billions of dollars in losses when it collapsed. Under the agreement, NVIDIA will lease its GPUs to OpenAI rather than selling them outright. This means that OpenAI will not have to bear the charge for the high depreciation rates on the chips as new, more powerful ones are developed. As the Fortune article noted, this means NVIDIA will ultimately have to bear the depreciation costs. It continued, quote, "What's more, NVIDIA will also take on the risk of being stuck with an inventory of GPUs no one wants if demand for AI workloads doesn't match NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang's rosy predictions." The NVIDIA arrangements bear a close resemblance to those engaged by telecom equipment makers 25 years ago. Firms such as Nortel, Lucent, and Cisco lent money to telecom companies, but the bubble collapsed because the supply of equipment exceeded the demand, and the networking companies lost as much as 90% of their value over the next decade. In a comment to Fortune, Jay Goldberg, an analyst at Seaport Global, said the NVIDIA deals had a whiff of circular financing and were symptomatic of, quote, bubble-like behavior, unquote. Stacy Ragson, an analyst at Bernstein Research, wrote in a note to investors that the NVIDIA OpenAI deal would, quote, clearly fuel circular concerns, unquote. He said that while it was a long way for concern about a crisis, the distance was starting to close. There is also a macroeconomic dimension to circularity. According to calculations by Harvard economist Jason Furman, reported by the Financial Times, investment in processing equipment and software comprises some 4% of GDP and was responsible for 92% of growth in the first half of the year. Investment in AI and other technologies, accompanied by a share market surge, is being carried out because it is claimed the economy is strong. But outside that investment, growth is essentially zero. The situation was underscored by a report from the payroll assessor ADP yesterday, which said private sector employment in the United States fell by 32,000 last month, the largest drop in 2.5 years, after economists' predictions were for a 50,000 increase. The NVIDIA OpenAI deal needs to be viewed within the framework of the speculative binge, powered by ultra-cheap money, which has powered the rise of Wall Street since the 2008 global financial crisis. The S&P 500 index is at around 6688. At its nadir after the crisis, it was 666 in March 2009. There has been a 100-fold increase in the index since then, underlying the growing divorce between the stock market and an underlying real economy on which it ultimately depends. The growth of U.S. GDP over the same period has been from $14.48 trillion in 2009 to $30.5 trillion today, little more than double. Moreover, the rise in the market has been increasingly concentrated in the tech giants, the so-called Magnificent Seven. Together, Alphabet, that is Google, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Facebook, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla account for around 37% of the S&P 500 market capitalization, the highest share on record, with NVIDIA playing the leading role. Since October 2022 and the start of the AI stock market surge, its shares have risen 1,350%. The development of AI has the potential for a massive boost in the productivity of human labor and the advancement of civilization, but its exploitation within the framework of capitalist social and economic relations, based on private profit, is sowing the seeds for a major financial crisis, which, as the experience of 2008 revealed, will have devastating economic and social consequences. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.